Amen. Will you have your Bible open to Psalm 128? I appreciate the special tonight, family. And I don't know that I'm going to do a lot of preaching. I don't know. You know, I've got a couple of thoughts on my mind that I want to share with you that means a lot to me, that God has used in my life that I really think would be a help to you. And if I didn't, I wouldn't say it. I just really believe it's a couple of biblical principles that's rarely thought of. And looking back over my life, I wish I would have done a couple of things differently in this area. And God's just been speaking to me. We've been talking about the family and the importance of family and how God has ordained the family. Now, brethren, listen, I want you to know, and I know you know this, but I cannot overemphasize this. Family is something that God instituted. It's something God ordained. Family is not something that washed up on the shore or that came about from the cesspool of immorality. That's not family. Family is when God took a man and he took his rib and he made a woman. Amen. And he said, I want you two to be one. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And God told them to be fruitful and to multiply. And family is dear to the heart of God. And I pray that it's dear to your heart. It's certainly dear to mine. It's very, very, very important. Family. And so I want to talk to you about that. Here in this 128th Psalm, there's a few phrases that jump out at me that I want to speak to you about. We live in a very high-stressed, a very stressful world. I mean, it just pulling at us at every angle. Everybody's wanting our time. Everybody's wanting our ear. Everybody's wanting our money. there's just a lot of stress in this world. And if you're not careful, you'll be chasing the wrong stuff. And you'll find yourself succeeding in the wrong areas. One of the definitions of failure that I've read recently is succeeding at the wrong thing. And I think there's a lot of people succeeding as Christians, but what are you succeeding at? And so when I look at Psalm 128, I know this. I know that God wants me to be the leader of my home. Amen. And I know that God wants me to love my wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I know God wants us to be faithful. Amen. To one another and to him and to our family. I know that God wants us to love our children. And we have tried with the help of the Lord to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And God wants us to continue to be an example to them. And as grandparents, God wants me as a grandfather, and God wants my wife as a grandmother, and God wants you as a grandparent. He wants you to be a staple for your children and your grandchildren. Your duty is not done. Your responsibility is not over. You say, well, preacher, I've lost my family. I've lost my children. What do I do? There is nothing impossible with God. Nothing. Nothing is impossible. The moment that you entertain that something is impossible with God, you've lost. You've lost. And so I want to just talk to you about, just building some memories. All right? Can I tell you, the older I get, the more I realize how important family time is and building memories and spending time together and allowing myself to take time to build memories with my family. When I was growing up, that wasn't very popular. In my home, that wasn't very popular. And then when I married, some of that followed me, and I just had a hard time wanting to be leisurely, and so I tried to always be doing stuff, I'm not in any way, I don't want anybody leaving here saying, the preacher's saying that we ought not to work. Well, you can quit working if you want to quit eating. Amen. That's between you and God, but I'm not saying that at all. Work is very important. You should have a good work ethic. I believe in teaching your children responsibility. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some some careless, mindless frivolity where you just kind of lay back and do nothing. I'm talking about making memories with your family. Notice what the psalmist said here in Psalm 128. The first thing that he does is he talks about a father, and he says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in his way, for thou shalt eat of the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee, thy wife." You see, he's talking to a man, and he said, listen, you'll be blessed if you fear the Lord, you walk in his ways. Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be. Now watch this. And it shall be well with thee. He said, you want to be happy? You want it to be well with you? There's some things you have to do. All right? This just doesn't happen. You just don't kind of get saved and say, well, you know what? I'm going to take a shot and chance here and hope that my life turns out happy and that it's well with me. It doesn't happen that way. And if you're thinking that, I'm going to tell you, you need to stop thinking like that. Good things just don't happen. Amen. You have to make wise decisions. You have to invest in certain things in life. You have to find out where the heart of God is and get there. Get there. We're always wanting God to bless us when we're in the wrong place and doing the wrong things. God is not going to bless that. Hear me now. God is not going to bless that. Find out where God is blessing and get there. Get there. Find out what God is blessing. Find out where God is blessing and get in that place, and God will honor it. And God will make it well with thee, the scripture says. And you'll be happy. You say, well, preacher, I hear people say all the time, I just want to be happy. Really? Really? How much are you pursuing that? See, if we're not careful, we'll just make statements like that and wait on happiness to overtake us. There's recipes for happiness. Amen. You can't just say, well, I just want to be happy and think one day you're going to wake up happy. Brethren, it doesn't happen that way. There has to be a route. There has to be a direction to get to the place where God wants us so he can bless us. And so he starts out by saying, this is a family. He said, first of all, the man should be fearing the Lord, walking in his ways. Look at it in verse 1. If you're here as a father, if you're here as a husband, you need to take note of what is being said here. Get in God's ways. Reverence the Lord. Fear the Lord. Then it says in verse number 2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. You ought to work and provide for your family. But now be cautious. Be cautious. Because I want you to go back one of the Psalms, and I want you to look at Psalm 127 in verse number 1 and 2. Now, here's where a lot of us get a little unbalanced. I did it in my life, and if I had it to do over, brethren, I'm telling you, I'd do it a little differently. Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. If you think for one moment that you're going to be happy, if you think for one moment that it's going to be well with you and that you're going to do it in a way that's going to be lasting, and it's going to bring joy and happiness without the Lord's help, you've badly mistaken. Amen. Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. You can work day and night. Now listen to me, men. I want to finish reading this, but I want you to listen very carefully. You can work day and night. You can be a workaholic. You can throw away. You can use every excuse you want to use. But I want to tell you something. There are only four one time. There are only six one time. They're only little for a little while. Are you listening to me? And you can chase the dollar. You can chase everything that you choose to chase. And you can make every excuse that you want to make. I've done it. I know. That's not where it's at. It's not where it's at. As a matter of fact, you say, how do you know that, preacher? From experience? Well, you know what? Even if it was all my experience, I don't preach my experiences. I preach the Word of God. Look at what the Scripture says in Psalm 127. It says this. It says in verse number 2, it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. It's vain for you to think you can work around the clock and that's going to solve your problems and that's going to keep your family together. It's vain for you to think that. It's not going to work. You have got to invest into your family godliness, character. You've got to make memories. And so I want to talk to you about making memories, about having some good times with your family, about creating atmosphere. And I think I can find it right here in this psalm. I think it's very interesting. This morning we were talking to the young people about Psalm 23, all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Did you notice Psalm 128? Look, if you would, in Psalm 128. It was read in your hearing. I wonder if it got by you in verse number 5. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. You want to be happy? You want it to be well with you? You want to see good days all the days of your life? Then do it God's way. Amen. Do it God's way. So, well, I've got a way, I'm going to do it. It's not going to work. It's not going to last. You listen to me now. God put this together. God created the family. God ordained the family, you see. And so we need to listen to God on this. So I want to give you a few things. I want to give you a few things that I think will be of a help to you. First of all, I want you to notice that laughing seems to be missing from a lot of Christians' lives. There's a lot of Christians that seem to not be having fun. Can I tell you, I'm having fun. I'm having fun. All right? You say, well, you don't look like having fun. I'm having the time of my life. All right? Now, there was a time when I took everything way too serious. Now, I'm not for clowning all the time. I'm not for tomfoolery all the time. I'm not for foolishness all the time. But I am for laughter. As a matter of fact, the Bible says laughter is like a medicine. And there's some folks that need to take a few dosage. Hey, man, I'm serious. There's just some folks that need to take a few dosages of laughter. They're every time you talk with them, every time you're around them, they seem to be agitated and irritated. I'm going to tell you something. There's something wrong in your hearts what the problem is. All right? When you're irritated all the time and you're agitated all the time and you have no joy in your life, there's something disconnected in your life. And the Bible says what you need to do is take you a happy pill. What's that? You need to have you some laughter. All right? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. Laughter is a gift from God. Did you know that? It's a gift from God. When Sarah, write this scripture down, Genesis 21, when Sarah had Isaac, she said, the Lord hath made me to laugh. God put laughter in Sarah. God gave us that. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to weep. But Ecclesiastes 3 also says there's a time to laugh. Laughter is good. Laughter. There needs to be much laughter in our homes. There seems to be a lot of stress, a lot of tension, a lot of arguing, a lot of fussing, a lot of negativity. And I think a lot of it's coming from a lot of music and a lot of media and a lot of things that we're exposed to. And we need to nix it. Nix it. And let God do a work in our hearts, you see. And so laughter. I want to ask you something. Is there laughter in your home? You say, well, I've got a sign up that says we laugh in our home. I'm not talking about no sign or some picture you've hung up. I'm talking about something that goes on in your home. Is there laughter? Is there joy? Is there jubilance? Is there happiness in your home? Do you have special times with your family to where you're just laughing and having fun with one another and creating memories with one another? You say, preacher, I don't want to do that. And why not? Why wouldn't you want to do that? See, I'm convinced. Now listen to me. I'm convinced. I'm going to show you in the Bible where God says we need to be doing this. I'm telling you what the Bible says. It sounds foreign because so many Christians think that it's spiritual to be morbid and sad. That's spiritual, you know. I'm sad. That's not spiritual. That's sad. There's a time to be sad, but there's a time to be glad. Need to find that balance in our life, that balance where you can cut up with your children. I told you when we were talking about husband and wife, I love that scripture where it says that Isaac and Rebekah were sporting. Amen. Well, you know what? You ought to do that with your wife. You ought to be able to cut up with your children, have fun with your children. Amen. It shouldn't all be discipline. I'm a disciplinarian. I believe in discipline. But it shouldn't all be that, brethren. Don't let it become that in your life to where every time you're having a conversation with your children, it's telling them, you know, no. You know, have fun with your children. Go out and throw the ball with them. Amen. You say, preacher, you shouldn't have to tell us that. I know. But our life, if we're not careful, will be strung so tight, and our schedules will be so full, and we'll have so much going on that we just don't have time to spend quality time with our family. And brethren, that's the devil doing that. That's the devil doing that. Please listen to me. He doesn't want you to spend that quality time. So, well, I'm going out with the girls. Girls not out. How about taking the family out? Boys not out. How about going out with the family? Amen. Amen. Spend some quality time with mama. That's your wife. Amen. For those of you who don't know, for the young in the crowd, with your wife and with the children and with the grandchildren, and just make memories. Let me give you a few scripture here. All right. I want you to turn to Matthew just for a moment. We're going to come back to this psalm. But I want you to turn to Matthew. We'll turn to two scriptures in Matthew. First of all, if you were to turn to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. I'm not going to preach this whole message because I know you want some cake and ice cream. Matthew 11. Look, if you would, in verse number 19. This is what Jesus said about himself. A lot of people think this about Jesus. A lot of people think Jesus walked around never smiling. Can I tell you, the Bible says he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Jesus laughed. Jesus had fun. I don't say that. Listen to me. Some of you looking at me like, oh, what? Yeah. That's why you can laugh and have fun. Because we were created in God's image. Amen. And I think some people think Jesus was some kind of recluse that just walked around all morbid and sad. You've been watching too many movies. That's not who our Lord Jesus was. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you what he was accused of. This was an accusation. Look in Matthew 11. Look at verse number 19. Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. Jesus said, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. What about that? Eating and drinking. Just any old kind of eating and drinking? I don't think so, because I want you to notice what was said of him. And they say, behold, a gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Jesus was out making friends with people, and Jesus was out going from event to event. Well, the very first miracle he did was at a wedding festival. He was not some recluse who walked around all morbid and sad and said, well, you know, I'm going to the cross. And that's not the life that God had for Christ. That's not the life he has for you either. Amen. Nor your family. Amen. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. Amen. Our sins are forgiven. We're here just for a journey, and then we're going on from here, brethren. We're going to heaven. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if you get just happy enough, there may be some folks want to go with you. But if we walk around the way we've been walking around for the last 20, 25 years, all morbid and sad and dried up like a prune, nobody wants to go where you're headed. But when we show some joy unspeakable, and full of glory, and when we show some happiness and some gladness, and we show some excitement about what God is doing in our lives, you see, then people want to know more about what we're involved in. When people look at our family and they say, you know what, I want my family to be like that family. Not every time dad walks in the room, the kids shrivel up, and the wife, you know, like she's walking on pins and needles. That's not what God wants for your home. Listen, I'm just telling you, the Bible says it gives a different picture than what a lot of so-called Christians are emulating these days and projecting out there. Notice if you would, turn if you would to Matthew 19. Matthew 19, while we're here, Jesus also, he had fun with the little children. Well, if Jesus had fun with the little children, I think you ought to have fun with the little children. Amen. I'm going to tell you what will happen now if you're not careful. What'll happen is life will beat you up. Now you listen to me. Life will beat you up, and you won't do what God said to do. You'll stay out of God's will for most of your life. You won't experience all God has for you. Now this is apt to happen to we who are Christians. It can happen to us. We'll miss what God has for us. We'll dry up on the vine. We'll get bitter and cantankerous. That's right. We'll get envious and jealous, and we'll get angry, and we won't have any joy in our life, and we'll dry up on the vine. And then when we get older, we'll get bitter and sarcastic, cynical. And when somebody says, "How you doing?" we growl at them, not some wild beast. Now, you don't want to become that in your life. But I'm going to tell you something now. I have done this for many, many years, and I've seen many, many, many people that have grown old just like I just described to you. When you speak to them, instead of speaking back, they just kind of grumble. That's a miserable way to live life. You don't want to exit out of here. You don't want to check out of this world in that condition, do you? But now, if we're not careful, life has a way of doing that. All right? Well, if you're a young person right now and you find yourself rarely smiling, rarely any joy, rarely laughing, that is unnatural. That is unnatural. Notice here, if you would, in Matthew 19. Are you there? Look at verse number 14. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He laughed and had fun. He went to wedding feasts. He enjoyed being around people. He wasn't a recluse who was always, he went to the mountain to pray. There's a time to be alone. There's a time for the secret place. Don't misunderstand me. But there's also a time to get out and meet people and do things and take your family out and enjoy the life that God has given us. The Bible says that God has given us all things in life to enjoy, brethren, to enjoy. If we're not careful, we'll live our lives in a bubble and just grow old and cantankerous and bitter. Don't do that. It's not good for you, and it's certainly not good for the cause of Christ. Matthew 19 and verse number 14, Jesus says, "Suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus would lay his hands on them. He would take them up in his lap. The little children. If little children don't come up to you, I'd be asking myself a question. What's wrong with me? It's not them, brethren. It's not them. As the pastor of the church, if little children didn't come up to me, I'd be real concerned. And can I tell you, if little children don't come up to you, sir, ma'am, listen to me now. You need to be concerned. You love those little children. Jesus loved the little children. You love your children. You spend time with your children and grandchildren. Don't you let some company run your life. You let Jesus run your life. Amen. Go back to Psalm 128, and I'll make a few comments, and then I'll be through, and I know some of you is glad of that. I looked up the word leisure as you're finding your way to Psalm 128. I think we've got this word leisure wrong. This is what the word leisure means. Leisure is not a luxury. It's a necessity. You know what the word leisure means? Anybody in here know? Listen, I thought I knew until I looked it up. I thought I knew what leisure meant. I'm afraid to say. I'm afraid I might be wrong. Well, this is the Webster's 1828 definition. To give permission to be permitted. Sometimes you just have to give yourself permission. Now listen to me. And you just have to permit yourself to have a good time without feeling guilty. Maybe there's other people in here. Sometimes when I'm having a good time, I feel guilty. I don't know why. Terrible way to live life. It's okay to have a good time. It's okay to have some downtime. God wants you to have it. And as I said, if there was one thing that I would do differently, I'd do some other things differently. Don't misunderstand me. It's not just one. That would be one thing. I'd take a little more downtime. I'd spend more time with my wife and children when they were little. I don't have that to do over. Now, I did spend a lot of time with them, but I should have spent more time. I invested in my family. I did. But I just don't know that you could ever invest enough into your family. And I just want to encourage you, invest in your family. Invest in your wife. You ladies, invest in your husband. Back them, support them. Stay together. Invest in your children. It's very, very important. It's very important. Let me give you these three thoughts out of Psalm 128, okay? The first thing, if you'll do that, the Bible clearly teaches here. It clearly teaches that you'll be happy. Look in verse number, Psalm 128, look if you would in verse number 2. It says, happy shalt thou be. Listen, if you'll do what's right, if you'll do what's right, you'll be happy. All right? It's okay to work. Now listen to me. That's what he said in verse number 2. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. But now he said, happy shalt thou be. Don't feel guilty just because you're not working. It's okay to work, but it's okay to have some leisure time too. Amen. It's okay to have some leisure time. You take some time and you spend with your family. You spend that time with your family. And you plan time just to hang out with the wife and youngins. Amen. It's a good thing to do. And you'll never be sorry for doing that. Invest in your family. As a matter of fact, I would highly recommend, and many of you already do this, find you a ministry in the church that you and your family can get involved in that you would enjoy, not something that you would feel is a drudgery to you or something you'd feel like is, you know, tying you down, but something you could enjoy doing. Just do a lot of things together as a family. It's very important, all right? So the first thing, it's refreshing. It's refreshing. I wrote this down. If you're burning the candle on both ends, you're not as bright as you think you are. I think some people think that work makes them spiritual. I'm going to tell you what makes you spiritual. Time with God and time with those you love. Okay? You take care of the things that God has a heart for. You get involved in what God is involved in and God will bless you for it. All right? There's a time for work, but it's not around the clock. You listening? Amen. It's not around the clock. You say, well, you won't have to preach that to this generation, preacher. We can't even get people to go to work. I think I'm talking to a group of people that believe in work. And I'm just telling you, work's good. You know it's good. God gave us work. But now you can get unbalanced in this area. Just be careful. All right? Be careful. Be careful. Number two, not only does it refresh, but it repairs. Notice what it said in verse number 2. It says, and it shall be well with thee. It fixes a lot of things. To spend time with your family, to spend time with your mate, to spend time with your children, to spend time with your grandchildren. It fixes a lot of things. It's just good for us. See, God ordained it this way. This is not man's idea. The family is God's idea. And so I just pray that you would understand. Actually, I want to read you something. It just really, really stuck out to me. And I want you to listen to this. If I don't get anything else in, I want to get this in. It kind of describes the society that we live in. And these are just things from my heart, okay? I know I don't have a three-point outline, and you know, but this is just some things that God has laid on my heart when I'm thinking about family. It's just important. We'll get our priorities out of line. If we're not careful, we'll get unbalanced, and we'll find ourselves over here and not doing the things that we should be doing, and we'll be tending fields instead of taking care of our own, you know. And we know what's right a lot of times, but we just don't do it. And so I'm just saying, please, for the sake of your family, spend time with your family. It's important. It's very important. We have taller buildings in America, but shorter tempers. We spend more, but have less. We buy more, but enjoy what we buy less. We have bigger houses and smaller families. More conveniences, but less time. We have more degrees, but less common sense. More knowledge, but less discernment. More experts, but more problems. More medicine, but less wellness. We spend too recklessly. Laugh too little. Drive too fast. Get angry too quickly. Stay up too late. Get too tired. Read too seldom. Watch TV too much. And pray too little. We have multiplied our possessions, but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and lie too often. We have learned in America how to make a living, but not a life. We've added years to life, but not life to years. We build more computers to hold more information to produce more copies than ever before, but we have less communication in our own homes. We're texting each other. We're on our phones all the time. Sometimes I just wished, I'm not going to get into that. We have become long on quantity, but short on quality. These are times of world peace, but domestic warfare. More leisure and less fun. More kinds of food, but less nutrition. These are the days of two incomes, but more divorces. Of fancier houses, but broken homes. It is time when there's much in the show window and nothing in the stockroom. I want to close with just giving you a few things. I want you to look at Psalm 126 just for a moment. The children of Israel here, and I'll be through here, okay? I just want to give you a few things that I hope will help you to laugh a little more. You say, you're not laughing. Well, I've been laughing. God's just helping me. He's helping me. And it's okay. See, I don't ever want to quit growing. Some people quit growing, quit changing. I think change is a good thing as long as it's in the right direction. And I want to keep growing. I don't ever want to think, well, you know what? God's through with me. I've maxed out. I want to keep growing. I want to keep learning. I want to stay pliable. I don't want to put myself in a place where God cannot continue to work with me. And so I think that God is speaking to me in this area, and perhaps he would speak to you about it. I just think we need to be more family-centered. I'm a very family-centered person. Those who know me that well. I'm very family-centered. But I could do better. How about you? Could you do better with your family? Could you do better by your family? Could you build more memories? Could you spend more time? Valuable time. Quality time. It's important. Could you laugh more together? Could you have fun? Have you become afraid to have fun? I hope not. Psalm 126, I want you to notice what laughter and having fun will do for your testimony for Jesus. Look at Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. He said, I remember when we were in captivity. No, we were not very happy. We hung our harps on the willow tree, actually, if you'll study and find out. Jeremiah talked about this. They had lost their joy. They had lost their happiness. They had gotten involved in all their own things. But he said, you know what? He said, when the Lord turned again to captivity, he said, it was like a dream come true. Now I want you to watch what happened. When they realized we're free. We're free. Brethren, we're free. This world is not our home. We should not be bogged down in the cares of this world. And yet, I'm finding many that are, and I have to fight not to get there myself. And sometimes I do. Look at verse 2. What a powerful verse of Scripture. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. As God's people, we were laughing. And we were singing. We were celebrating. We were jubilant. We were excited. You know what it did? It got the eye of the pagan, of the unbeliever. And it said in verse number 2, "Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them." Amen. The psalmist said, we were laughing and celebrating. Should have been doing that all along, because nothing ought to be able to steal that from us. When they started doing what they should have been doing all along, it got the attention of those that were without God and on the other side. And they said, wow, look what God is doing for them. Isn't that what we're after, brethren? Isn't that why God left us here? So that others could see what God has done and is doing for us? I don't have time, and I won't take the time. You know the verses in Proverbs about a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and how that laughter is just good for us. Did you know that there are studies that have been done? I challenge you. Look this up. There are studies that have been done how that laughter and merriment in the heart is just good for you physically. When a person is stressed and when they're worrying and anxious, it just does great physical and emotional damage to you. You don't want to be that way. Some of you are going to have to make some changes. I've had to make some, and I'm going to have to make some more. I'm not saying loaf. I'm not for loafers. I'm just saying that it's okay to spend time with your family. Build something there. Build something. If you don't while you're young, now young folks, listen to me. If you don't when you're young, when you get old, you're going to have nothing. You're going to have nothing. But if you'll build it now, you'll invest in your family now, you'll reap dividends on the backside. All right? Let's stand to our feet.